All right. Well, good evening and welcome back to First Baptist Church of Livingston this evening. Tonight, we are going to focus on the idea of missions. You know, Jesus, the last final words he said to his followers is that all authority has been given to me, so you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all I command you, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so that is the calling of every believer, and it's the calling of some to go to foreign lands and be on the front lines of ministry and sharing the gospel. And so we have a I have two letters that I want to share with you real quick before I introduce our speaker for tonight. Our first letter comes from Ken and Sharon Cummings, who was just here with us just a few weeks back, and just wanted to read their letter that they wrote to the church. They said, "Dear friends, what a great joy and blessing it was for Ken and I to be able to spend some time together with all of you. You all are so very special to us. We thank the Lord for your sweet, sweet spirit. We truly see the love of Jesus in each and every one of you. We consider it an honor and a privilege to not only have you as a part of our support ministry team, but to also be able to call you our friends. Ken and I want to thank all of you so very much for your very generous love offering to us. It will help us so much with our medical expenses for this last year. God promises he will meet our needs, and he has been so faithful in doing that for the last 38 years of ministry. But it takes the obedience and faithfulness of his people like all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness with financial support, prayer support, and love for us for all these years. We don't know how to thank you, so we are asking the Lord to thank you with his blessings. It was a very real joy to meet your new pastor, Jason, and his wife, Robin. We know they will be a great blessing to you all. We love you all, and you are in our prayers. Together, we are helping reach the world for the kingdom. Our love and prayers and thanksgiving, Ken and Sharon Cummings." And so I wanted to share that with you all, as we are privileged to support those around the world who are on the front lines of taking the gospel to people around the world. I have another one that was sent from the International Mission Board, from a missionary who is getting ready to go. Her name is Tia. And Tia is a Louisiana native, so we give to the cooperative program all year long. We also give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and that money goes to missionaries who are sent through the Southern Baptist International Mission Board, and this is one of those missionaries. She said, "Pastor Purdy, my name is Tia Borg, and I am a Louisiana native. I am writing from the IMB's Training Center to express my gratitude for your church's generous giving and support. Because of your generosity, I will be able to serve in East Asia, sharing the love of Christ with those who have never heard. And so thank you for your support." So I just wanted to share both of those with you all tonight. And I got a call earlier this week from the Byrds that Mr. Stephen Byrd was going to be in town. So I have asked him to come share with us tonight. They passed through this summer while Robin and I were in Dallas, so we didn't get the chance to meet he and his wife, so we're thankful that they were able to come tonight for us to meet in person and for him also to share with us. So I'm going to invite you, Mr. Stephen, to come and share with us tonight.
Anybody else? I'm not on? I'm on now? Okay, well, forget that inside joke I was trying to say. That's the reason it wasn't on. The Lord has helped me not be a flop. But just to give you an update, how the Lord's been blessing with the fundraising for the building construction. We have an updated video. The rest of it's all the same, but at the end there, the figures have changed. The Lord has helped us raise $80,000. We've raised about, I think it's like $82,000. But it has really went up, and so we're really close to that $120,000 we're trying to raise, and then working on the second phase. But wanted to come by and meet the pastor, and so give him an opportunity to come by and share tonight. So just want to in person come by and say thank you. And so we'll see the video, and then I'll share something from the Word.
Welcome to Guayaquil, Ecuador, a city of almost 3 million people in need of the gospel. With over 80% of the Ecuadorian population professing to be Catholics, the country is in need of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It has been our privilege to carry the message of the gospel south. God has blessed with the establishment of two churches, Iglesia Bíblica Bautista La Esperanza in Albanor and in Huancavica. Huancavica has seen their land begin to change from a place for recreation to a location with a church for worship. Please pray that this new location will increase their presence in the surrounding communities. The Albanor Church has continued to grow and build on their land with the completion of a baptistry. Church has added Sunday school classroom space, and these will help reach singles and young married couples. Classrooms have also allowed us to separate the children into more concentrated learning environments for their age groups. The members are excited about these provisional buildings because they will help grow and spread the gospel as they look to build more permanent facilities in the future. As the churches in Ecuador have seen the blessing of a missionary in their own lives, we are grateful they have become missions-hearted themselves. We are blessed with many who are being used to teach and train others to serve, and their heart to learn how they can best be equipped to be used by God is incredible. We are so thankful for their willingness to learn and do the best that they can in reaching others for Christ and sharing the gospel. We are blessed to have many children and adolescents attend the services. Charlotte has overseen the curriculum of the Sunday school classes and has trained teachers to serve. Through these ministries, the children have become involved in special programs in the churches. Church has seen the fruit of a close community of believers, and they enjoy using special services and campaigns to reach others for Christ. We have stepped out by faith to construct buildings for worship and ministry, and we ask for your financial help as we continue to build lives for the Lord.
Showing that the figures have reversed. It's the opposite of what they were before. A couple of updates. Why am I just passing by this way? We just returned from Washington State. Some updated news. Last weekend, we were in Washington State. Jonathan stationed at Fort Lewis in the Army there. We were privileged to participate in his wedding ceremony. He allowed me to perform the ceremony. And so that's how we've come back through. I actually thought we was going to be back in Ecuador by now, but we've had a couple of changes. Jonathan's getting married, and so we got to go up there and then come back through here. And so we had this extra days and was in Alexandria this morning. But before this morning, we was in Washington State last Wednesday. And so we've traveled all the way there from there to here. And we're headed over there and getting ready to go back. And another update, Brother Purdy got to meet in person the speaker on the video. While we was here earlier, he was there meeting our son Matthew at the convention. Matthew does all this media stuff all over, and on the side from what he does at Liberty, he does some freelancing, and each year he gets to go and do the convention video stuff there. So he was there and met him, and he got to do an update here recently, get a congratulatory message to Matthew. Matthew just got engaged here recently, and so we might be coming back sooner than we know for a quick trip for his wedding. So if they can get the dates worked out, they're working on that now. So that's a lot that's taken place since then. Jonathan getting married and Matthew getting engaged, and so we're getting ready to leave out, and we're just hiring a kite. The Lord's really been blessing over in Ecuador, what's been going over there. So we can't wait to get ready to get into the land, start meeting there. A few prayer requests, if you would. I told the folks I was kidding them. I think I was kidding them. I might not have been kidding, but I was kidding them, telling them that you're going to have to really work now to start going to church. You used to go out of those plastic seats, out of that little what looked like a carport type thing. Their houses were just little small houses right around that. Now they got to go to church. They got to go to where the church building is going to be. And so pray for the transition. We're going to have to act like we know how to go to church now. So pray. I've been praying and talking to the Lord about transition things. You know what I'm talking about. You just had a big meeting tonight about Sunday school and things of that nature. And so I've been thinking about that, what to be doing. And if you would pray about that with me as to how to, you know, it's going to be a whole different thing for us doing church and things like that there. So pray about that. I've been thinking about the message to be preaching and certain studies and things of that nature. So if you would pray about that there, we should be meeting pretty soon. They say that we're about to get the permits to actually go in and sit down in the building and start meeting. But I told them don't put anything in until we get those permits to occupy. So that's a real, I think really what it says is another way they can try to get back and try to get people to bribe them to give them that type of permit too, because you got to get that permit. Now, on the serious aspect, I can understand them doing an inspection to make sure it's a safe, sound building. But I don't think it's always that's the reason behind it. I think it's more because of other things they're wanting to do, to just like when you're trying to get the permits to begin with. So if you would pray about that, if you would. And I don't know if there's anything else I'm supposed to ask or say, Charlotte. Charlotte goes with me to tell me what I'm supposed to say. You don't have that, do you, preacher? You don't need it, but I need it. Well, I'd like to share a thought with you tonight. I don't have a different video, but I do have a different message. And so I'll alert you to that. So it won't be the same one. We'll rerun of that, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I was just hearing about what's going on, what y'all doing and thinking. Not to misunderstand this, but I think I'm headed in the right direction that the Lord would want me to go tonight. You know, Paul speaks to us about the fact that it's not in vain to serve the Lord. I'm thankful that as we serve the Lord, it's not in vain. Paul is encouraging us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 along this matter of serving the Lord and the fact that it's not in vain what you and I are doing. I heard this already tonight. I need all the security I can when I get ready to preach. You know, I'm that kind of insecure guy. But Brother Larry, where's he at? Is he still in here? He's talking about how he felt like that he should send some 50 texts out to invite people to come back to church and different things. Somebody else was doing that and had several people coming. And he's talking about how a number of them came. And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, what we do for the Lord is not in vain. And Paul encourages that. And Paul, of all people, the one that suffered so much, I mean, shipwreck, beaten, had to get out of a basket to get over the wall to get out of town before they got a hold of him trying to kill him. And he speaks to us and tells us that it's not in vain to serve the Lord. And sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, you know, you go through spells. You know, sometimes we ride the wave, the Lord's blessing, everything's going good. And then sometimes it seems like that dry spell there, nothing's happening, nothing's going on. And the old devil could try to whisper to you and say, you know, well, really, is it worth it and all that there? And I'm thankful that it's not in vain. I think about that with our sons that we've served these years in Ecuador. And they didn't feel like that they just put in their time. They come back to the States, now they get to go on with their life. I'm thankful that as 3 John 4 says, have no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth. I'm thankful that Matthew and Jonathan are still with the Lord. They're still serving the Lord. And that's what it's all about, what you and I are doing in serving the Lord. It's not in vain. And Paul's sharing that with us and encouraging us as he's encouraging the Christians at Thessalonica. Follow along with me as I read chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, the first 13 verses. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You're witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which affectionately worketh also in you that believe. God's word works. I'm thankful that it's not based on me. We go to Ecuador and we tell them about the Lord. We use his word to tell them about it. Not trying to tell them something of us or using our words, but the word of God. And people receive it. Heard it even tonight as people are talking about how they've been encouraging and encouraging people to come back and inviting folks and people coming. People receive the word of God. If we'll tell the word of God and not what we have to say, and I'm thankful that it's not in vain. What we're doing, it counts. It's changing people's lives. People are coming to know the Lord. I'm thankful that you and I were laboring together. I'm thankful we're not out there on our own, but prayers of people like you and help people like you to help us reach the people of Ecuador. It's not in vain. All these years, I'm thankful that our boy is raised there living for God. It's not in vain to give our lives to the Lord. Encouraging the meeting y'all had to be planning and doing those things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. You've entrusted us. You've allowed us. We thank you for the great privilege to serve you, and it's not in vain. Encourage us again tonight. Speak to each and every one of us. Even if in the midst of tonight there'd be someone that's unsaved, that tonight they'd be saved before it's everlasting too late. Those who are serving you, you'd encourage them to keep on keeping on. If there would be one that's not got victory yet, not made you the Lord of their life, that even tonight victory would come. I need your help, and I'm asking for it. Move from my thoughts that which would be of no help, be of no value, get in the way, be a hindrance. Call back to my memory that which would be of encouragement, that would bring honor and glory to you, that which would edify. We'll claim your promise that if we lift you up, you'll draw all men into you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul's sharing with you and me that in serving the Lord, it's not in vain. Time well spent tonight to come and be planning. I mean, who would have known that I'd get to come by here tonight and get to be coming and you're having a planning meeting, and the Lord encouraged me that it's not in vain. It's not in vain to serve the Lord. There are those that want to give their life to the Lord. There are those that have taken the opportunity, the great permission that God gives us, that he's allowing us. Paul, can you imagine that? Paul is speaking, saying, we were allowed of God. We've been entrusted. And Paul says in verse 1 that it's not in vain. He writes to you and me. He says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. It was not in vain that person that told you about Christ. It's not in vain that person that you told about Christ and that is living for God now. I'm thankful that somebody told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't in vain many years ago. It wasn't in vain to get to go to Ecuador. And people there, you see, those are real life people that have come to know the Lord. Charlotte and Matthew and Jonathan and I, we went there, just us alone. I was so insecure and wondering. I remember when I was on deputation, people would ask, you got any prayer requests? I didn't want to be bogged down. I was nervous about this learning Spanish. I mean, I'm going to go and learn a new language. I can't even talk English. And I'm going to go over there. I mean, we talk West Virginia. We don't talk English. And so, but we do have good words. Like he said here, behaved. I remember my mom saying, you better behave yourselves. And here the Lord's telling, we got good West Virginia talk. We got good Christian talk here. Behave. And so here, he's telling us that it's not in vain to serve the Lord. And he speaks to you and me. And he says here, the manner in which they did it, the world's our opposition. The world's not our friend. I mean, look, shamefully mistreated. Look there in verse 2. But even after that we had suffered before you and were shamefully entreated. I mean, the world's not our friend. The world doesn't want to hear our message. And the devil's fighting us. The devil's our opposition. But there are people that God is preparing and wants us to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not in vain to go out and tell people about the Lord. It's not in vain to teach a little boy or girl that may grow up someday and be standing before you. I was recently in my home church that I was growed up in West Virginia. I told you I couldn't talk. Growed up in. And there I was getting to be in my home church. And a little boy growed up in that church. And now here I am. You might have some little boy or girl that may go off and be living for the Lord because you were that Sunday school teacher that prepared them. It's not in vain to give your life to prepare them. And here he's saying they didn't do it with deceit. Didn't try to trick them into it. We just go and plainly speak the Word of God. I remember years ago, all these different little things to try to present and tell them. It's like as if you're trying to trick people into, and they don't even know they got saved. No, you just tell them what the Bible says is what it says. I'm glad somebody plainly told me that I need to get saved. There's going to be some consequences. And then they told me the blessings of it. And the Lord Jesus tells us, He didn't come. He came to give us life and give us life abundant. The devil tells us, oh man, your life's going to be work. It's all. The world tells you it's in vain to get saved. The world tells you it's in vain to give of the Lord. The world tells you it's in vain to do something for God when you got your time and all your things you want to do and accomplish those. God says, put Him first and it'll be well worth it. And He says that we were allowed, look there in verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Paul's saying that we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. What he's saying to you and me is that the lives of others are in our care. We've been entrusted with the gospel. What he's saying is that we're entrusted with the lives of other people. We're entrusted with the lives of other people. You know, little babies, when they're born, they might be in risk at the hospital and they put them in the care. Would there be people that are in risk because of us not taking advantage of being allowed to be put in trust with the gospel? We're entrusted with the lives of other people. Are there people at risk because their lives are entrusted to us and we're not doing it? Paul's speaking to you and me and saying that we have been allowed. We've been entrusted with the gospel. We've been entrusted with the lives of other people to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken it upon you to make sure that the gospel goes to all the world. There are people in Ecuador that have been entrusted to you. And thank you for helping us reach them. And Paul is speaking here and saying that the manner in which they did it was with love and care and tenderness. Note what he says here. He says, didn't try to do with flattering words. He said, you know, it wasn't the cloak of covetousness. He said, didn't seek man's glory. But he says here, we were gentle in verse 7. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Does that nurse cherish that? He tries to tenderly care for that one that's in need. There are folks, we're not lambasting them. We're not browbeating them. With love and care, telling them that God loves them, cares for them, and wants them to come to Him. He says here that affectionate desirous. Look there in verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, not everybody's loving. Not everybody's receptive. There are folks out there that are the enemies of God, and they don't want to hear. But do we look at them that way? Or do we look at them with affectionate love, desire to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said he didn't just give them the gospel. He gave his soul. There in verse 8, he said, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. There are folks out there that they might not be dear to us, but those are the folks that we need to reach. The folks that don't want God, those are the ones that need God, and we need to have an affectionate desire to reach them. Oh, it's easy to speak to the one that's caring and kind and loving, but those are the folks. It's the folks out there that the enemies of God that we need to tell them about God and that they love Him. God loves Him, cares for them. The unlovely, the uncaring, those are the ones that we need to have an affectionate desire for those. It's easy to like those that like us, but those that do not, those are the ones that we have to have that affectionate desire for them. And Paul is saying that we were willing, in verse 8, to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. How do we see people dear unto us? We need to give of ourselves. You know, we don't know how to do that today. We want something done. Want a grass mowed. Want the house cleaned. Want this or that done. We just pay somebody to do it. We can't pay somebody to do this. We've got to give our very souls. Impart not only the gospel, but to impart ourselves. Making relationships. A family here. We've given of ourselves to one another. We're family to one another. We give of ourselves to one another. And that's what Paul is speaking that. He gave himself to others. And that's what it's going to take, giving of ourselves. And he says, not only that, we must model Christ. We must let people see Christ in us. And Paul is speaking here, and he says, because they were dear unto him, he imparted his soul unto them. And he says in verse 9, ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And he says, you're witnesses. You're witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. We need to model Christ. I don't know about you, but you know there's some folks out there that need to take those stickers off of their cars. Those folks that dart in on you. Those folks that cut you off. I'm thinking, man, don't you know you're giving a testimony? I say, take that sticker off of there. I'm telling you, there's some folks out there that are not behaving themselves very good as Christians. And I'm telling you, we need to make sure that we model Christ before us. Why would they want what we have if we act like that? I'm telling you, we need to model Christ before them. And that's what he's speaking about here. He modeled Christ. Because he was showing them how to live for God. Because he said, because we're going to encourage you to not only get saved, but to give your life unto the Lord. So he said, they modeled Christ before others. They're witnesses. They know how that he acted, he says. In verse 11, he says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, as that nurse cherishes, now the father, the way he cares. We need to model those two. We need to model that nurse, we need to model that father that's caring for his children. And he says, because, as verse 11, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. It's more than just telling people how to get saved. It's modeling Christ for them so they know how to live for Christ. You know those jobs where they have on-the-job training? It's kind of like that there. We give them on-the-job training. We're teaching them how to live for Christ. Tell them how to get saved, and then we want to tell them how to live for Christ. Because it's like our children. We're trying to set them up for success. We're concerned that our children, if we're long gone, that they're still living for the Lord. We want to set them up for success. Well, who of us doesn't want our children to do better than us, have more success, and all that? That's what he's saying. Those that we model before them how to live for Christ, that they too would give their lives, he says there. in verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. You know, it's more than just somebody getting saved. It's somebody giving their life to the Lord. And that's what it's all about. And Paul's saying that you're the reason we rejoice. Because in verse 13 he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It's working in us. We're modeling Christ for them. We're training and teaching them how to, because it'll work in them. And Paul says it's not in vain. He reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the resurrection chapters is coming to the end. He says, be unmovable, be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for in that you know it's not in vain. Our labor's not in vain. And so be steadfast, be unmovable, abounding, moving forward. What's our incentive? Why are we doing it? Because we want to be popular, because we want great riches, because we want a name, we want to be the CEO. No. Paul's telling us why in verse 19, our incentive is for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That's the reason you were here tonight preparing, doing the planning and the sessions to be able to minister in greater ways. Because there's going to be some crowns there in heaven, some people getting saved, some people living for the Lord. It's not in vain what you're doing. It's not in vain what we're doing together. Thank the Lord for helping us reach the people of Ecuador. It's not in vain. God bless you. We love you. Thank you so very much. Thank you, preacher.